السلام عليكم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا نبينا مولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. والحمد لله رب العالمين. وقال تعالى حاميم تنزيل من الرحمن الرحيم كتاب فصلت آياته قرآن عربيا لقوم يعلمون. وقال تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. صدق الله العظيم. Many of you may be noticing that whenever I come or give bayan anyway, I ask for Quran and have Quran in front of me. Right, Shabir? There's a reason for that. I want to share my own life a little bit. The day that I graduated Gora in Jalalabad, 1969, there was a small jalsa in my honor, mashallah. And my Shaykhul Hadith, Mawlana Rafiq Sahab Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali, had a soft spot for me, and Mawlana Qasim Obi is in P right now. I'll be on this side, he'll be on the other side. He was very attached to us. So in that jalsa, when he was addressing the students that were there and directed the advisors to me first and then the others, so he said two very important things in that advice. He said, number one, he says, you students have written exams here, right? What mistakes you made, only we know. What wrong answers you gave, only we know. This exam that we took is nothing. The day you put your foot out of these four walls of the madrasa, your exam will start. Because as you move, two things are going to happen. People will watch you, and they'll question you, and at that time, you can't say, let me check it up in the kitab and come back. You have to know it just like that on the turn. So that's your actual exam. And each time a question is asked to you, either you'll pass or you'll fail. And your conduct and behavior is also a reflection of what you learned. Another important advice, and that's the one that I've taken to heart. He said, you know, when you're going to go out there, you're going to face situations where there'll be a lot of conflict, ikhtilaf and differences, and, you know, you may be caught up in a place where perhaps you are a leader, there's suddenly imam or what have you, and people of different schools of thought are sitting there. What are you going to do? Are you going to lean against your school of thought at the expense of causing a problem that side? What are you going to do? You would have to adopt a very neutral position. And how are you going to do that? First thing, the others will say, but he belongs to that particular school of thought, so I'm not coming. So what do you do to sort of draw them all close to you, where there is no ikhtilaf? So he said, take the Quran and Zira. Anybody got ikhtilaf here, right? You can take Hadith Kitab and Zira. They said another Hadith on the other side. Dok, hamare. You quote Bukhari and then quote Tirmidhi, Abu Dawud. And you know how it goes. And that war is carrying on. But he said, take Kitabullah and sit down, and nobody got ikhtilaf. If anybody got ikhtilaf, he'll lose his iman. So you take the Kitabullah and sit down, and inshallah, you will have all of them coming in your direction there. Because this man is talking from that Kitab, which is common to us. A similar example I'm quoting now. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قُلْ تَعَالُوا قُلْ يَا أَهَلَ الْكِتَابِ. Ya Nabi, tell the people of the book, تَعَالُوا come, إِلَىٰ كَلِمَةٍ سَوَائِمْ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكُمْ أَلَّا نَعْبُدَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَلَا نُشْرِكِ. Hey, you Yahud and Nasara, come, let us unite on one platform. And what's that platform? All three of us agree that Allah is Wahdahu. Shariq, finish. Let's start from there. So there's it. So that advice, Gora, this is for you now. 69 I came, didn't tell the Quran at all. The occasion never come in my way for me to take the Quran and apply Ustad's advice. Yes, then comes 1990, 11 years later. And Hazrat ends up in the most dangerous area of all at that particular time. The refinery right there by Gora, you remember when the forest came with those machine guns, they were bombing that thing, eh? We had to run from the masjid house. And that's where Hazrat ended up there. And anyway, there was a lot of drama. I don't want to go there. 6 months, there were youngsters, Moana, worrying me. You know what, Moana, start some program, have this, have... I said, hold it. Let things, let the dust settle. Then I remember Ustad's advice. When you caught up in a situation where there's ikhtilaf, take Kitabullah and sit down. And inshallah, you won't have a problem. So I said to them, okay, inshallah, I'm going to start in January, Quran Tafsir. Pass the message. And believe you me, Gora is a witness to this. All and sundry were sitting there. All and sundry. And my policy was, Kitabullah and Sunnate Rasul, finish. Leave all the third thing one side. Again, common feature, na? Applying the Quranic principle, Allah Nabi is commanded, A people of the book, let us unite on one platform. Let us join together on one platform in which we are united. See? Allah is Wahdahu. Shariq. So all out there, all of us believe in Kitabullah and Sunnate Rasul, yes or no? One of the last advices given by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Hajjatul Wida, if you'll remember, our memory is short. What did he say? I leave behind for you two things, the Quran and my Sunnah. You hold fast to them, firm to them, you won't go astray. So this Kitabullah, Sunnah, the Rasul, it joined everyone. But sad today we have a situation, again the ikhtilaf is gone so out of hand, that we have one group, we only follow Quran, nothing else. I will suggest they are out of the fold of Islam. There no more Islam. Because Quran itself says, follow Muhammad. Ji, Atiullah. Come on, you'll know it. What's it? Wa Atiur Rasul. Obey Allah and obey His Rasul. To obey the Rasul is there in Sunnah. It's not here. And then the Sunnah is important for us to understand Quran. Without that, we understand nothing. Yes or no? Anyway, I quoted one verse here for you. Alright, so since then, Gora, Allah's kindness, and I thank Allah very, very much, cannot thank Him enough for this golden opportunity and favor. Since then, it is now 36 years, you'll find A.R. Khan attached to this. To such a level, what is the Agora? What is this? Not on capsule. What is this? Come on, man. I think I'm the only one moving around this one. Serious. In here, I got tons of kitabs. And I got over a dozen Quran tafsirs inside here. When I'm here, they take the wife shopping, you go by, I'm sitting, you carry on. Open here, and that's what I'm doing. I'm sure many of you have seen me doing that. Attached to the Quran, and you know, that's the whole idea. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to be attached to Kitabullah. See, yes or no? And Kitabullah, why so? Because Kitabullah is a source of hidayah. One interesting thing. We look at the verse now quickly. You know, Allah says here, this is Surah Hamim Sajda. It's a Makkah Surah. Allah is saying here, Hamim, Tanzeelum Minar Rahmanir Rahim. This is a revelation from Rahmanur Rahim. Kitabun Fussilat Ayatuhu. The verses in this kitab have been explained very clearly. And this kitab is called what? Quran. What language? Arabiya. Why? Arabic for a nation that will understand. And we know Surah Yusuf, Allah says what? Inna anzalnahu Quran Arabiya la'allakum taqilun. Okay, we send the Quran down in the Arabic language so that you may understand. Who is the you? Arabs? Yes or no? Why? And Quran says, okay, we send Muhammad for the entire world. Yes or no? قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ إِنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِلَيْكُمْ جَمِيعًا. Ya Nabi, tell the world out there, I have been sent for the entire mankind. See? And Allah says, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا كَافَّةً لِلنَّاسِ. We did not send you except as a Rasul for the entire humanity. So we will expect the Quran to come down multiple languages, just as an example. But no, Quran came in the Arabic language. Why? Anybody got any answers? Look, I'm not here to give bayana. I came here to teach a couple of sabaks. Inshallah, I will show you. See, in my research, I have, you know, put together all these facts. Let's go to Ibrahim alayhi salam. We know he built the Kaaba, tick. When the Kaaba was completed, we know it, we did that in namaz. Rabbana, taqabbal, you all know that, eh? Allah, accept the effort that my son and I put in building the structure. Then he continues. Where is he standing? Right by Baytullah, right by Maqam, right by Hajar al-Aswad and the door and Multazam. That's where he was standing. And that's the most sacred spot. I don't want to go into detail. And that's where he's making his dua. Then he continues. Rabbana waj'alna muslimain. Oh, our Rabb, the two of us, make us Muslim. What are they at the moment? Not Muslim. There's Zabihullah the youngster and Khalilullah the father. Nobody from Adam's time till then could match this father and son. And they sing Allah, he sing Allah make us Muslim, and the son says Amin. That Muslim is not Muslim as you think. It is going to the literal meaning. And I've said this time and again until I die, I'll go on saying it. And I always thank the late Ahmad Didad Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi, who in the 50s, I learned this definition from him. He had come to Junction. There was some seminar there, you know, different religions and, you know, present your religion. And mashallah, Allah really blessed Didad with that charisma. And I'm talking lighty days, Gora, 50s. Imagine that line sticking in the area. Islam means total submission to the will of Allah. A Muslim is one who submits totally and completely to Allah. That's it. So in the dua, Ibrahim alayhi salam is saying this. Allah, up to now we, father and son, have obeyed all your commands. You ensure that from now till we die, you maintain that condition. That's what he's saying. An example I'll give you two. Of Ibrahim first. Ibrahim, take your wife and child and leave them there. When he comes there, what does he see? Huh? No means of survival. Not even a drop of water. Leave them and go. You think you'll do it? You and I will say, Allah, okay, I brought them here, but why? I don't see nothing here. 10 questions. How will they survive? It's a normal, human, natural condition to ask that kind of question. Because you are attached to your family. How are they going to survive? I brought them now. How will they survive? But remember the statement. Total submission to the will of Allah. Can you see it being applied here? You know, ask one question. Go. Right? Then when he's come back 10 years later, Allah says, go and see. I'm sure the thought must be passed in the mind over and over again. Have they perished? Did they die of starvation? What's it? But I'm sure even he pushed that thought out. Nothing, none of my business. I am the slave, he is the master. I got no say in the matter, I mustn't even think about. Perhaps those are the thoughts. And 10 years later, lo and behold, to his surprise, he said, Ibrahim, go and see your wife and child. And what he sees 10 years later was something else. It's a small town, thousands of people, hundreds of children, homes, tents and whatever you can see. And he's amazed. He's amazed. Then after a short while, the dream. Ji? Which one? A dasu. Which one? Knife, right? Now, he knows that's Allah's command. And Quran mentioned it. Quran says, he says to his son, Ya Aba, Inni ara fil manam. Oh my son, I saw in a dream. Anni azbahuka. I am slaughtering you. Fanzur, think. Mada tara, and tell me what you feel about what I saw. Look at the next line. Allahu Akbar. You know what the child says? Oh my father, do as you have been commanded. Let's analyze it quickly now. Father saw the dream shared with the son. He's asking son for opinion. One question, why must he ask? Like he dumped them before. Bad word to use. Knife, grab him, take the knife and slaughter him, chapter close. Yes or no? But why must he ask his son? Who is the victim here? The son. I'll put the knife, fine. He is in that age now. He will resist. Which means he will be going against Allah's command, yes or no? So let me share what I saw. And if he's got a problem, perhaps I will need to now explain to him more deeper. So that he will on his own accord, voluntarily, wholeheartedly, you know, follow my thought and be Allah's obedient servant. Khalas. But the beauty here was Allah is telling us, he said, my father, do as you have been commanded. Just like that. And I'll suggest to you, I don't think it will be 3 or 4 days that father and son have met now, after the 10 long years. In the 3-4 days, you think the father managed to teach his son, you know, who he is and what he is and etc. Nothing. Then who is the one responsible to educate the child on the child's background? The mother? People settled, we know, he was still an infant. And as he grows up, he sees mothers and fathers and children. And definitely my mother, they got the father, where's mine? Has he died or has he gone somewhere? No, your father is living. Then how come father is not? I'm just suggesting, you know, questions. Your father is a great Nabi of Allah. Your father does nothing without Allah's command. Allah ordered your father to leave us, yes? So he left us and he's gone. He left us in the mercy of Allah. Finish. And your father never does anything but Allah's command. So she has already, she prepared the child, given him that, okay, your father does nothing. So now when the father says, that's my dream, now you can see the reaction. Total, immediately. Do as you have been commanded, khalas. Then Allah says next line, that's my point now. Falamma aslama, when both of them submitted to the will of Allah. What's the submission? وَتَلَّهُ لِلْجَبِينَ And father puts the son face down on the ground. The child is ready to have the knife run on his throat. And the father is actually going through the motion of running the knife. So Allah describes that scene. Both of them submitted. He's going through the motion of the slaughter. And he's accepting the knife on the throat. Both surrendered. Get it? So come back by the Kaaba now. Up to now we have submitted to your command. You make sure until we die, we maintain that. He's only got one son. His son is now marriageable age, or perhaps he's married. I'm not very sure of that part. I don't think he was. So I have a son and my son will have, what, come on, children with Allah's blessing. So he's making dua now. I'm an old man. Perhaps I will no longer father anymore children. So he's making dua for the offspring that's going to come via Ismail. What does he say? وَمِن زُرِّيَّتِنَا And from our offspring, Ummatam Muslima, produce a nation that will be totally obedient to you. See that word Muslima came here. When you hear the word Muslim, immediately put the definition there, put it together. Okay? So from this child, then he continues, we skip one line because that's not relevant. Now I'm going to next one. In order for that nation to appear in this world, as I am praying to you, I would like that. Send unto them a Rasul that will come from them. Rabbana wa ba'ath fihim rasulam minhum. And what will that Rasul do? He'll come, that Rasul must come from my offspring. He will do four things. He will read your words. He'll teach them meaning of the words. He will teach them how to apply that word in action. Three. And he will purify them, wa yuzakkihim, from all kind of filth. No time for the detail now. Ibrahim alayhi salam doesn't realize that he's making dua right now for Muhammad to come. He doesn't realize that. But he's making the dua in this particular angle. Allah produce. That means, you know, my offspring must be ummate Muslima. From who? From this one. Now, he doesn't even know it. He doesn't even know it. Okay, later on, Allah is going to give a son from the other wife, the one that was barren, the one who has gone doy. The one who said, Ibrahim, I'm gone old now. You desire a child and so did I. And Allah denied me that. I'm gone too old to ever become a mother now. I'm beyond the age of hope. So this Hajra, they make nikah with a, perhaps Allah will give you through Hajra. And he makes nikah with Hajra and there was no result. He turns to Allah. All of us. What does he say? He's there in the same surah I read before. Rabbi habali minas salihin. Allah, you bless me with a pious child. Okay? When he made the dua, Allah says, Fabashar. Now, same time he gave him news. Now, when he went through the motion of the slaughter, it was a big kurbani, my friend. Very big kurbani. To put the knife on the throat, and Allah mentions to us, Ki Allah says, Ibrahim, you were put through very big trial. And you passed. And what will be the reward? Fabasharnahu bi Ishaq. The reward will be, okay, you are given good news that you will have another son, Ishaq will be his name. Up to now in his mind is what? I'm gone now, beyond. Huh? And he will be a Nabi and a very pious Nabi. And I'm sure the thought went in the mind. I think by that time Ibrahim alayhi salam built the Kaaba, Hajra had passed away. She had? Kurbani time, Hajra was around. Kaaba building time was later. Hajra is gone. Okay? Keep that in front of you. Now perhaps in the mind, I'm sure the thought came now, alright? Sarah is gone doi. That's why I made Hajra. She was the one that put me in this direction. Perhaps Allah will now order me to marry another woman. And perhaps through her. Those are thoughts. To try and figure out how. But when you open Quran, sorry. That's why I love to have the Quran by me, Mr. Mathur. You see, there's a surah here in the end of para 26. It's called Surah Wadhariyat. The last page of para 26, the next is 27. See what Allah says here. Allah is talking to Nabi. Hal ataka hadithu dayf Ibrahim, has the information episode of the guest of Ibrahim come to you? When they came by him, they said, Assalamu alaikum. And he said, Salam from this side. Now, Ibrahim Salam and all Anbiya have this policy. They are very hospitable. I'm referring to outsiders first. Anyone from outside come, extend hospitality. Feed them, etc., treat them nicely, and then give dawat ilallah after that. So two strangers have come to town before Ibrahim alayhi salam, made salam, he made walaikum salam. Now his policy, come, be my guest. And what does Ibrahim salam do? Quran doesn't say it, but we learn with the tafsir that. He slaughtered one goat. In minutes it is now skinned and what have you? What they say, spit brine. Huh? Yeah. Put the whole thing. It's roasted ready and then he puts it front of them. He says, now eat. And then he said, aren't you all eating? They sort of refused to extend the hand. So Allah is telling us, for awjasa minhum khifa, fear entered Ibrahim's heart. Okay, who are these guys? I went out of my way. Imagine the time it will take. Today we are, instant. That time, parwa illa, they say, you can take your time because there was no such thing as instant. You can take your time and that long time you take to is short. That was life at that time. So he's very afraid. Okay, who and what are you? So they said, don't be afraid. We have come to give you good news of a child. You know that Allah said. And they go on to say that the mother of the child will be Sarah. She's behind the parda that side. And Allah says, when she heard that she's going to become mother of one child, she laughed. What kind of laugh will that be, people? Cynical, sarcastic laugh. What you guys are talking about? The old lady, what nonsense. You know that the laugh. So they said, you know what? Qalu kadalik is going to happen. Just like that. Your Rabb has got full power to produce from you despite your old age and condition. Now the other question comes, why is Allah blessing her with this ni'mat? Two things. Allah would like to, and Allah is showing a natural rule is there, natural system. I will do whenever I would like to go against the natural system which I created. Despite your old age, I will give you child. Just like Zakariya alayhi salam, if you open that particular section. When he saw Maryam, in front of her one basket of fruit out of season, and she is locked up in one attakaf room inside Masjid al-Aqsa. He is the only one got the key. When he takes food and go, he puts a ladder. He stands on the rung of the ladder. He never goes inside. It's a small room. And she is his wife's niece, not his. Okay? And when he goes there, Allah says, Kullama dakhala alayha Zakariya al-mihrab, wajada inda rizqa. Whenever he goes, she's already got one basket of fresh fruit out of season. Then Allah is telling us, when he looked at that, he said to her, Maryam, where is all this coming from? Huwa min infam Allah. Inna Allaha yarzuqu man yashau bighayri hisab. You see, we know the word, but put your mind there. Allah, he says, Allah provides without hisab to anyone whom he pleases. Now, I am suggesting to you, Ibrahim is standing on the rung of the ladder, his mind is racing now. When Allah is giving her out of season fruit, I am out of season. He's gone old. He's beyond the age of becoming father. And his wife is also gone old, beyond the age of becoming mother. But he's seeing a miracle here. Allah is providing with this young lady, who is his devoted and dedicated slave, fruit without out of season. Then he can also give me out of season. So Allah says, Hunalika da'a Zakariya Rabba. At that same spot, he took the opportunity very fast. Hunalika da'a Zakariya Rabba. At that spot, Zakariya called out to his Rabb. Qala Rabbi habli min ladunka. See, mark the words here now. He said, oh my Rabb, from your side, you bless me with a pious child. You saw the difference here now. His whole life he applied himself, natural system, no result. Eh? Now when you are in that situation, he's gone now, finished. So he said, Allah, now you from your side. Innaka sami'ud du'a, you listen to du'a. Then he comes down, he locks the door, he comes down. What is this thing here called? What's behind me? Hello? Mehrab. So Allah is saying, he's gone in the mihrab here, and is busy in salah. You know, just a share of passing thought. Bring me back here, where I'm right. I should read this verse in my salah, in Isha Namaz many times, sometimes Fajr Salah when I was Imam, and made tafsir on that, so many times on that, right? فَنَادَتْهُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَهُوَ قَائِمٌ يُصَلِّي فِي الْمِحْرَابِ. We called out to him, the Malaika called out to him whilst he was performing salah inside the mihrab. And where is that mihrab, Shabbir Bhai? In Makkah or in Medina? Come on, man. Where is it, Bhai? In Aqsa. Right? That's one. I should wonder, you know, I wish I can see that mihrab. Then when you go Surah Maryam, you go Surah Maryam, we learn about the birth of Isa and the mihrab of Maryam. The Kullama dakhala aliyah Zakariya al-mihrab. Hey, mihrab. And Baytul Laham, where Isa was born, I say, Allah, I wish I can see that place. For years I was desiring that. Last year, end of December, Allah opened the door and I went to Aqsa for the first time. And actually searched out and located these particular areas. That was very pleasing to me. Okay, at least we saw the spot, we know where it is. Okay? Alright, let's come back to Zakariya. So Allah is saying, the angel in the namaz called out to him, أَنَّ اللَّهَ يُبَشِّرُكَ بِيَحْيَا مُصَدِّقًا بِكَلِ. It goes on. Okay, hey Zakariya, Allah is giving you good news of a son whose name will be Yahya, and one big list of qualities. Now look at it. He made dua before. And within minutes, result is now announced to him. So his question is, قَالَ رَبِّ أَنَّا يَكُونُ لِي غُلَامٌ. Allah, how will I have a son whilst I am an old man and she is beyond motherhood? Reply is given to him, قَالَ كَذَلِكَ اللَّهُ يَفْعَلُ مَا يَشَى. Just like this. Allah does whatever Allah wants to do. Again, understand something here. When he asks Allah, how will that happen? I'm old beyond and she's old lady beyond. The question is, Allah, are you going to restore our youth? So that our physical faculty will come into motion and she'll fall pregnant as a result of that youth once again. So Allah is saying, no. Just like that. Just like that. So just go back to Ibrahim now. Alayhi salatu was salam. And it did happen that that old lady Sarah, Allah did bless her with Ishaq. Now let's come back here again now. Ibrahim alayhi salam, maybe stop Shabbir Bhai. Ibrahim making dua. Ishaq came later. Ishaq came later. Father and son. If Ishaq was around, he would have brought his son to Makkah as well. See? And two sons and father put together would have put out the Kaaba. Ishaq is nowhere around. It's only him. So his mind is, na Allah, through him, produce ummat muslima. Allah accepted the dua. One time Allah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I am the result of the dua made by Ibrahim. It's a figure of speech. Why do I mean that? Allah already planned, before Allah started creating creation, the whole plan till the end. And Allah's very first creation was Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When Muhammad was present in the soul form, nur form, nobody else was there. And Allah said to Adam alayhi salam, hey Adam, had I not created Muhammad, I would not have created you. Had I not created Muhammad, I would not have created the universe. So Muhammad is there already. Allah uses Ibrahim's tongue now to put in motion Nabi's coming in the world, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Many of you know Mawana Makki from Makkah. The one who gives bayan in the haram of Makkah, who came to South Africa in 84. Yes. He came here in Rajab. He came here in Rajab, and the same year Allah opened my door and we went to Hajj. So one of his Hajj bayan and Bayan of Ibrahim and Sirat to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he mentioned this. He said, Ibrahim ne dua mangi, Ismail ne amin kahi, 5000 saal baad Muhammad aaya duniya mein. Farooq, ji, understand me, very important now, what I'm sharing with you. Where did he make the dua by? At the most holy spot where dua is maqbool. But dua got accepted, the result that came into existence 5000 years later. How come? Why it took so long? Again, go back. I'm happy to think. What is in the dua? Produce from us. That means through Ismail. A nation. How many individuals I will suggest makes a nation? 10, 20, 30? Come on. You're looking at thousands, yes or no? So it took 5000 years for the Arab nation who are Banu Ismail to come into existence. See, Ibrahim, his other son Ishaq. Ishaq has a son, Yaqub. Yaqub got 12 sons. The 12 sons and their progeny is called Bani Israel. I don't want to go there. Let's stick on this side. But more important, let's go that side again. Ibrahim, Ishaq, Yaqub, Yusuf. Nearby is Ayyub alayhi salam. And plenty. Sheikh Zakaria says 10,000 at least came in the Bani Israel. In Fazail Ahmad, perhaps you'll read that. 10,000. Anbiya came and the last of them is Isa alayhi salatu was salam, and before Isa is Yahya and before Yahya is Zakaria. And before Zakaria, I don't know, I got no idea at the moment. Whole list. Let us come this side. It took 5,000 years for the Arab nation to come into existence. Ismail marries. How long it takes to produce one child, by? 9 months, Akib. It took 5,000 years. And perhaps the figure I'm suggesting to you from my research, just over 100,000 was the Arab race. All Bani Ismail. Bani Israel, this side. Put them one side. So it took that how long? And then, excuse me, Muhammad is born, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 40 years later, Quran is given to him, the first few lines in Hira. Then the Dawah command is given, and he works. A lot of detail, just want to be brief. He started working. After 5 years of making manat in Makkah, you know what was the result? What was the figure of Muslims, you all know? 63. Remember this. 40 men, 23 women, after 5 years. Number 39 man, Amir Hamza. Number 40 male, Hazrat Umar, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Combine the two, so number 62, Hamza, number 63, Umar. 5 years. 5 twelves are? Hello? So how many per month? 1 per month. Okay. When we go to Hijra time, we're looking at about 300. 200 are settled there in Abyssinia. We go another 2 years later is Battle of Badr. Now we're counting men. How many soldiers with Nabi in that battle? We're talking minimum figure. 313. Then the following year is Uhud. How many men with Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam? 700. Then Nabi is in fighting a war against the Quraysh, Battle of Trench. How many men active? 3000. You see what's happening now? Okay. Then we come to 8 Hijri. Allah, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is commanded by Allah, go to Makkah and capture Makkah from the Quraysh, the Mushriks, and cleanse the Baytullah of all idols. Ibrahim alayhi salam, build the house clean and pure. But over the centuries, these Arabs put their, made that pollution of that. So now when he comes to Makkah, he comes with 10,000 soldiers. He's following. What's happening? How many? 10,000. He conquered Makkah 1 month later, he goes Taif, he's got 2,000 more. How many? 12. We go next year, 9 Hijri. Roman Empire plans to attack Makkah, plans to attack Medina. Allah Nabi says, the famous philosophical night, the best form of defense is what? Attack. Before they come here, let's go for them. When he marches that side, there's 30,000. That means in 1 year, how many came in? 30 minus 12, how many? Abdullah? 18. Now you see what's happening. By end of the year, 100,000 is the minimum figure. Can you see what's happening now? 100,000, how many per month? 12 eighths are 96. Where you saw in the beginning one per month, now you're seeing 8,000 per month. You see? Huh? And they're coming in. Also very important, what was Ibrahim's dua? Produce from my offspring ummate muslima. So in these 23 years, Muhammad is working very hard. Allah is also blessing him with his special bounties and grace. And you can see the figure, numbers are growing. But the beauty of these numbers was, you know what? Most important point. All of them obedient. 100%. Yes, now and then there was some mishap. Now and then somebody did falter. Now and then somebody did some major wrong. It was all part of Allah's system. Simple example I'll give you. Just in passing again now. Allah says, those who still chop the hand. So somebody has to be a victim for Nabi to demonstrate how to chop his hand. So we had one woman stealing and one man stealing. That's all. Chop. There's the example for you. Comes to zina. Unmarried person, never married previously, 100 lashes. Is married, was married, stoned to death. How must that be implemented? Somebody has to be a victim. So we had all samples. Samples of all. And suppose a victim, an offender is pregnant. How are you going to handle that one? So we had one case of a pregnant woman. So we had the 4-5 varieties for us to learn. That's how you apply. Do you understand me? Someone did certain wrong. Well, that's what you do. It was all part of Allah's system. You will now find them like you and me, you know, repeated offenders. It was just once off and finished. You'll hardly ever find somebody committing the same crime twice. Hardly. All were obedient. They learned one thing. Atiullah wa atiur Rasul. So when Allah's Nabi Muhammad is coming back from Tabuk, the 30,000 went up. As he's coming back, look at Para 11. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, والسابقون الأولون من المهاجرين والأنصار والذين اتبعوا بإحسان رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه. The very first from the Muhajirin. Muhajirin, Makkah Musliman. And the Ansaris, who are they? Medina Musliman. Were they people that were neither of the two? Yes. In fact, they were in the majority. Who were not Muhajirin or Ansar, they were in the majority. So Allah is mentioning them. Those who followed these two with goodness. Look at this now. Radiyallahu anhum. Allah is saying, Allah is happy with the whole lot. In short, Allah is saying, Allah is happy with all the Sahaba. Without exception. Can you understand me? What we're seeing here now? We see Allah's acceptance of that dua made at that time by Baytullah coming into realization. Another important point. These people, an overwhelming majority, I'll just use a figure, 99.99% were Arab Muslims. That 0.001 were non-Arab. We just know a few names. Name is non-Arab, one, two names quickly. Salman Farsi. There were others too. Bilal. There were others also. Musab ibn Umair. No, Suhaib Rumi. Suhaib, Roman. So we got one black man, one Roman, white man, and one Persian, brown man. As an example. You find a handful, but the overwhelming majority is who? Arab. Go back, go back. Ibrahim's dua. Produce from us, through Ismail, a nation ummate Muslima. But Ibrahim doesn't know what the result will be and what Allah's plan will be. Allah's plan already was, when Muhammad comes, unlike others, he will be sent for the entire mankind. See? Another important point. Muhammad only confined himself to where? Arabian Peninsula. Yes, he did go Syria, but not to give dawat. As a young man, you know, Khadija's business. He now went to Yemen. He just traveled within the perimeter of the Arabian Peninsula. Khalas, chapter close. But yet he is a Nabi for the world. So the answer lies here. We got 3-4 non-Arabs. There were a couple hundred. But main target is here. And through the whole lot, whether they are Arab Sahaba, whether they are non-Arab Sahaba, Allah is going to use them to continue spreading the message of Dawat ilallah throughout the world. And yes, Nabi did give it a start. 6 Hijri, after Battle of the Trench, after he signed Hudaybiyah Treaty with the Makkan people, we all know this, he sent out letters to the world. Just in passing, I'm showing you. He sent out letters to the world leaders to enter into Islam. So he already gave the start. And from the world leaders, how many accepted Islam? Only one. Who? Abyssinia, Najashi. That's the only one. But the fact is that Dawat was given. Later on came the effort on the part of Sahaba. We're ending now, inshallah. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, radiyallahu anhu maradu, and Allah is actually saying, what is he saying? Allah is pleased with the whole lot without exception. And they are pleased with Allah also without exception. Whatever Allah's decision, they are with it. Now, just before Nabi passed away, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is a very important, repeated segment of my bayan I do very often. I get very excited with this particular piece that I'm sharing with you now. Shortly before Nabi passed, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he made one special dua to Allah. He said, Ya Allah, I am very concerned about the conflict, about the difference opinion in my sahaba after me. In his presence, he saw ikhtilaf. But he was there to sort it. Any ikhtilaf, it always ended up by him, high court. So either high court give decision or supreme court send down decision. And the beauty was they all abided, accepted. And Nabi has seen enough. But he is there to sort it. Now he's leaving this world shortly. He's afraid. Ki Allah, what's going to happen after I am gone? If ikhtilaf does come, and they're going to have total opposite opinions, I'm very afraid of that. What's going to happen? Allahu Akbar. The beauty comes now. Allah replied. Allah replied. Our Nabi says, فَأَوْحَا عَلَيَّ Allah said, wahi unto me. And Allah said, Ya Muhammad, you concerned about the differences in your sahaba after you. Well, let me tell you, Allah is telling you, let me tell you, in my sight, all your sahaba are like stars in the sky. Each one is a light. Follow me very carefully, very important. One more time. Who is saying? Allah is saying, Ya Muhammad, in my sight, all your sahabas are like stars in the sky. Why Allah is doing stars? Because that time there was no compass for you to find your way and move to a particular destination. Stars was the guidance. Today we got our GPS and all the story, whatever. So Allah is saying, in my sight, by me, they are like stars in the sky. Each one is a light. No exception. Some brighter than the others. Allahu Akbar. After you, despite their differences, anybody follows anyone, they'll be on hidayat. Understand me now. Understand me, doc? It's very serious, this. Two sahaba will be saying two different things. For example, it's a very lousy example, but I just, one person say night time now, one person say daytime now. Just, I can't find another example. So Allah is saying both are right. If you accept day, you right. You accept night time, you right. Because all are on hidayat. Who is saying that? Allah. One more time. By me, all your sahabas are like stars in the sky. Each one is a light, some brighter than the others. Those who come after them, whoever follows them, despite the differences, they will be on hidayat. Again, connect Ibrahim's dua. Make them ummate. Can you see the connection now? That means 100%. Make them 100%. When the 100%, there's the level. One, radiyallahu an. And two, look at this one here. Allah is saying, anyone follows any one of those sahaba of yours, they're on the track. I don't think any person ever scored 100%. Every year when the metric reports come, results come, sorry, I don't think we've ever heard of 100% pass. Maybe maximum subjects, 100%, very rare. I think there was one Indian lighty last year or some, I'm very sure, scored the highest ever in the history of South African metric exams. Literally 99.99% was his pass. I'm not, you know, we look at that. But nobody ever scored 100%. These people scored 100. And who's giving the score, Gora? I'm asking, who's giving the score? Huh? Allah. Who knows better? One place Allah Ta'ala says, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ امْتَحَنَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَهُمْ لِلتَّقْوَىٰ. Allah is the one that examined the hearts. And what was the result? لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةٌ أَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ. For them there is mafi and there is great reward. There's it. So my friends, long story short, this is Quran. 23 years for it to come down, bits and pieces, that was the verse I read, broken up revelation. And the reason broken up is to develop this nation. It took a long time, gradual progress in their development. And you can see this radiyallahu an when it came, 9 Hijri. Nabi came to Hajj in 10 Hijri. And 3 months later, 11 Hijri, he passed away. So Allah gave the score, the final result, after 13 plus 9, Shabir, 22 years later. Now you can imagine what must have been the happiness and joy of these people. Okay, Allah gave us score 800%. And you know what the beauty is, Dadasu? You will not find a single scratch against any one of them after that. I'm going to throw on, what is a curveball? And I'm going to leave at that particular point. You can chew the other movie's brains. Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu put his son on the chair, yes or no? Yazid, who's called the notorious and XYZ and all that, he gets all the, you know, machine gun and the bomb thrown against him and hand grenades and blasted to smithereens and sentenced to Jahannam, khalas. Ji, who put him on the chair? So Muawiyah did wrong. I will leave it at that. It's another lengthy discussion. Just to make a point, Muawiyah is a what? No ordinary boy. You know, very few Sahaba, Allah's Nabi made this dua for them. Allahumma ij'alhu hadiyam mahdiya. Allah, give Muawiyah hidayat. And make him from those who are guided. Can you understand me? Very few Sahaba got the dua. And you think Muawiyah just gonna go off the track? Yes, he was a king. It was destined that he'll be a king. Allah Nabi even said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muawiyah is walking. He said, there goes the king of the Arabs. Already determined he's going to end up as a king. King is something else and Khalifa is something else. Another important point, just throwing some curveballs here. Who gave Muawiyah the chair, doc? Why he gave? Besides the unity, why he gave it to you? Hassan gave the chair, unity came. But why gave him the chair? I'm throwing some balls here. Hassan is a sahabi, boy. That statement Allah Ta'ala made to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Hassan is 7 years old. But he's a sahabi. Hussein is 6 years old, he's a sahabi. Right? So even all the youngsters that were sahaba, all come under this. This statement of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Hassan gave, I don't want to go politics, I'm just going to throw some, make you think a little bit. No sahabi ever made a blunder. If you accuse them of blunder, then we are accusing Allah of blunder. Can you understand me, the way it's going? But Allah is very clear, each one is a star. Some brighter than the others. Whoever follows anyone will be an hidayah. They reach that condition, conclusion now, when they embrace this completely. And they embraced Sunnah of Rasulullah. Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu atiullah. That is the thing that brought them there. Ramadan has come, Ramadan will go. This is my 71st Ramadan, Mashallah. How many years gora? 75 Ramadan. Allah give us a few more. That we try to make up for all the lost time. And you know, Allah is so kind, honestly, you cannot, there's another sabak on my own. Allah is so kind, despite our shortcomings, we just have to do this. Allah, I'm sorry, I will do my best to make amends. And you start making the amends. And in the process, you, what they say? You hit the jackpot, Kabrastan case. All your shortcomings still to fill up Allah's sabma because you were in the process. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must bless us with that. Allah bless us with all the barakat of this Ramadan. Allah bless us with future Ramadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strengthen our iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the same kind of jazbah which He blessed the sahaba ikram with. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us dedicated servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala utilize all of us that are present here to serve the cause of His deen until our final breath. Inna Allah malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabiyya ayyuhal ladheena amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa lana wa dhalik wa sallim. Allahumma thabbitna ala al-iman. وعمسنا على الإيمان وحشنا يوم القيامة مع الإيمان اللهم ربنا اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان اللهم افتح لنا بالخير واختم لنا بالخير واجعل عواقبنا بالخير إنك على كل شيء قدير. All those people that ask for duas, Allah Ta'ala grant all their meek desires and fulfill all their needs. Allah Ta'ala keep all of us safe. وصلى الله على النبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه. Before you all go, you know, we used to hear in the past, Bayan, Imam Abu Hanifa used to read the entire Quran every night in Ramadan and so and so, so and so. It was stories. And to our surprise, many of us, we got a report that came a few days ago. The one Hafiz Hifz class will start, mashallah, in one night, 29 paras in first rakat and the balance in the last rakat. Chidnu seri finished. It's a namat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Real bounty and namat. But before you leave, I just want to remind you, sorry, excuse me, maaf. Maulana Patel Sahib Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali, one of his last bayans here, on this chair, it was a huge jalsa. And that was perhaps the last huge jalsa that he conducted here in this masjid. And in that jalsa, he was talking about Quran and attachment, and he says, you know, I used to advise people, besides making just tilawa like that, at least a page or so every day, go through a translation, at least you understand what is going on. And lo and behold, it's an advice, we have no hope that any of you will do that, honestly. I don't have hope myself. But we give the advice because it's important. So he says, 10 years after the advice was given, a doctor came to him. Hazrat, alaikum, you know, he spoke that time. Now after 10 years, I managed to complete reading the translation after 10 years. And you know what's more amazing? I'm sorry, maaf, forgive me. There's a lady, in American woman, but now she's in Jeddah. She was a Christian evangelist. Her husband Christian, she's got about 10, 12 sons, but all Christian. She's a Filipino auntie. And they gave her one assignment that you must study Quran or something, whatever it is, Islam, and come back with all the points that we can use against them. When people are sent that direction, you know what happens? Allah opens. This lady was so thrilled when she got exposed to Islam with her research, she became Muslim. She came on Channel Islam some years back, interviewed by Inayat Wadi. I must find that recording again. I want to end with this. In the interview, you know what she said? She said to Inayat Wadi, I have made khatam of the translation of the Quran 26 times. It's a short time. I have read the entire Bukhari translation 26 times. Can you see the figure? Apply the statement there. I leave behind two things, Quran and my... See what she... I'm just my own thought. See what she has done. And people phoned in, they cried, men and women. We born Musalman, we so advanced in age, didn't make one khatam in the whole life. Very impressive. So, it's a ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make niyat now. Attend those programs where some tafsir taking place. And be enlightened. Assalamu alaikum.